Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, guys. Phil Hendry here. We're going to do our news briefing right off the top. All of a sudden, I lost my place, though. Here it is. You know, I collect a lot of news, and then I throw it into a big pile, and I forget forget where it was supposed to go. All right. Here is what we've got so far, and it's increasingly difficult for me to trust even our sources, which are not usual sources. We've got a lot of alternative news sources that we use, and we've been pretty dead on with a lot of the stuff that we've said. For instance, we're standing by our report that that bus blown off that bridge in Syria was not collateral damage. That was an intentional airstrike by the United States blowing away a bus full of Palestinian fighters coming into the country from Syria. Now, of course, today, all the mainstream networks are reporting that Rumsfeld has warned Syria about getting involved. So they've opened their borders to Palestinians and to other fighters, Hezbollah from Lebanon, for instance. And the United States targeted a bus, as you know, early this week. I don't know if we have taken out any more of them, but I say more power to the guys flying around up there taking those guys out. Iraq has claimed, as you know, more than 50 people killed by coalition missiles dropping on Baghdad's Shula district. No comment yet from allied sources. You also know that the Iraqis are not above dropping missiles on their own people. It's very possible, perhaps even likely, that the Iraqis themselves dropped a missile into one of their own neighborhoods. There is no love for the Iraqi people by the Iraqi military or its leadership. Please, please don't even make the mistake. No love at all. These people are now expendable, and they will kill as many of them as they can intentionally. Forget about whether it's collateral damage. Hussein will murder as many of his own people as he can in order to turn the propaganda war in his favor. Now, I'm going to explain to you in a few minutes what is being planned by our military in terms of Baghdad, why it could be potentially disastrous for us, and why it could be a good thing for Saddam Hussein. Israel has elevated first aid Magen David alert for possible chemical attack. Israel is still worried about chemical attacks coming from the west of Iraq, even though we supposedly took two airfields. And the United States, in taking those two airfields, we supposedly took two major sites where Scuds were launched in 91 against Israel. The Israeli people are still concerned that there are portable Scuds out west and that chemical attacks could come their way from Iraq. We have reports now from U.S. intelligence sources that Iraq has moved chemical and biological weapons to within missile striking distance of Israel in western Iraq, despite the U.S. presence in that region. Some of the WMD were taken out of the hiding places in Syria. Again, Rumsfeld now coming out in public and warning the Syrians about this. U.S. Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld has warned the Syrian government in sending military equipment to Iraq. It is a hostile act. Syria may be viewed as a combatant. He also warns Iran against interfering in this war. Thursday, several hundred Lebanese Hezbollah headed for Syria. We already reported that. U.S. warplanes have targeted Iraq's Special Republican Guards Al-Medina Division, joining the battle against U.S. Marines in Nasiriyah on Friday. One other thing. There's a conservative writer out there by the name of Ann Coulter, who I've sort of put up with, as many of you have. Many of you know who she is, I'm sure. She's conservative. She's the darling of the so-called conservatives. I'm going to start using words like so-called when I talk about conservatives and liberals, because they're all full of crap from top to bottom as far as I'm concerned. But this Coulter is just fantastic. She's so brilliant. The only problem with her is she is prone to the same kind of hysterical reporting that everybody else is. And people are quoting her as saying, hey, we took Nasiriyah and we only lost 9 Marines. Well, guess what? We have not yet taken Nasiriyah, and we've lost 4 more Marines today in that battle. Hate to break the news. We have not taken Nasiriyah. We've lost 4 more Marines in the battle. We do not hold two-thirds of the country. We hold probably about a half, if you want to call that holding half of the country. We don't know how many guerrillas are in those areas of the country. We don't know how many Republican Guard or Iraqi regular army have taken their uniforms off and put on civilian clothes. Folks, a guerrilla war of the kind we fought in Vietnam, you don't know who a combatant is. You nuts? You walk into a village, and there's a guy smiling at you, and he's got a hoe, and he's got some seeds, and he's got a mule behind him, and the next thing you know, you got a grenade in your lap. And if you fire on the guy and you kill him, and there happens to be a UPI photographer or an AP photographer standing there, guess what? That's on the front page tomorrow in the Baghdad Bugle. And it's on the front page of the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Times, the Chicago Times, the Times of Your Life, the Times of London. Have you got the time? It's on all of them, and of course it will say, more American war crimes. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is how it starts. All right, that's it for the news update. Today, the Los Angeles Times had a pretty good article. It was front page article about Saddam Hussein and how he patterns himself after Joseph Stalin. And all of that may be true or not, I don't know. However, the U.S. Army, and I've been hearing the press say, that we're going to be involved in a siege of Baghdad. Now, a siege is not when you're going into the city and taking it street by street. A siege is when you blockade that city, you sit at the walls of the city, and you wait for a surrender. In my opinion, and just in my opinion, I'm not a soldier, I'm not a general, I will tell you this, the generals ought to get their asses down to the front line. I don't know where Tommy Franks is, but he had to pick his ass up and go down to the front line. A siege of Baghdad, in my opinion, would be a fatal mistake. Fatal. If you want the legend to spread far and wide, down through the ages, among the Arab people and beyond, about the heroic defenders of Baghdad, you go right ahead and lay siege to Baghdad. Now, I got some other bad news. The British, behind the scenes, nobody is naming names, but unnamed sources in the British Army are beginning to say the United States hasn't got the balls to go into Baghdad. I got the story. I'll read it to you if you want. I could read the whole story, but let me just give it to you. Let me give the shorthand. The British are wondering if we've got the balls to go street to street in Baghdad. The war has been fought up to this point to avoid civilian casualties. Admirable goal. The war has been fought up also to this point to avoid casualties to our own soldiers. Admirable goal. Little problem. In war, people die. There's no such thing as fighting a war, and especially against an enemy that is determined to take down everything with him if he loses, without losing a bunch of people. Easy for me to say. I'm sitting here in L.A. I'm sitting back here in the good old USA. No, it ain't easy for me to say. This is my country. These are my people. These are the guys that I have. I invest a lot of emotional energy in what is going on. I invest financially a whole lot of money in terms of the tax dollars that we've all paid to support our troops and to give them the very finest equipment they possibly could have. And then to suspect that some kind of a half-assed war is being fought over there where we're going to try and save as many guys and save as many civilians. And in the meantime, we are putting our foot into an enormous bear trap that we will not be able to pull our foot out of. Sorry, I'm a little confused, and I'm not particularly, I ain't all gung-ho for that, if you know what I'm saying. We saw the pictures today on the front page. There was a dead baby from the bombs falling in Baghdad. The anti-war movement is now getting what they so fervently wanted to get. They are now beginning to get it in dribs and drabs, but they're getting it. The people who are against this military action are finally, their prayers have been answered, and children are dying in Baghdad. And now they can take those pictures, put them on a placard, and march up and down Market Street with them. And feel really good about themselves. Well, you know what? For us to win this war, they're going to see a whole lot more pictures like that. And if they'd like, they'll get a few pictures of dead Marines and dead paratroopers. Of course, we won't see any pictures of the dead Iraqi citizens, the civilians who were gunned down by their own army today. We won't see those. We won't see any pictures of Iraqi civilians who, in trying to escape Basra, were murdered by their own army using mortars. We won't see that. The truth has come out about this Iraqi regime. If the world doesn't see it, then the world is blind. But the truth has finally come out. They'll stop at nothing. They're the lowest of the low. The only thing different about Hussein from Hitler is that Hitler had a whole lot more, it would appear, a whole lot more money and a lot more in terms of weaponry and probably a hell of a lot more ambition in the short run. The fact of the matter is the guy is a self-styled Napoleon of some kind. Be that as it may. You're going to see a whole lot more pictures of dead kids. The answer to the problem is not stop and pull out and allow Saddam to retain his power and allow him to get on with the business of governing Iraq. That is not the answer. That is not the answer. And anybody, anti-war, pro-war, I don't care who you are, anybody that suggests that, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. You pull out now, and there'll be a bloodbath in that country that will literally create oceans of blood. You think we're killing civilians. We pull out now, wait till you see what happens. Wait till you see what good old Saddam's got in store for every mother's son that turned against him. He'll be gunning them down by the bushel. No, there's only one answer. The answer is we got to stay there, and we got to go in, and we got to go in pretty aggressive, and I'm not saying that that's not what the government's planning on doing. I'm just saying right now, the word's out. It's floating around that the Americans don't have the stuff, we don't have the intestinal fortitude to take Baghdad the only way it can be taken, and that is going in street to street, house to house, using the Black Hawks, using the attack helicopters, using air cover, bombing, and yes, maybe killing some civilians, and yes, maybe killing a whole lot of infantry, but eventually taking the city. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way that you can, and forgive me for saying this, but history is important. The only way that history is going to look upon our endeavor in Iraq with any kind of favor, and the only way you're going to retain any honor for our fighting men is if we do it that way. I mean it. The only way that this is an honorable fight is if we go in there. If we lay siege and we starve people, and all you see are pictures of heroic Baghdad defenders, we have lost that propaganda war before it's even started. And you know what? Everything that they always wanted is going to come true. They're going to kick our ass the hell out of there. I ought to read to you the history of the Battle of Stalingrad, just so you'll get a noseful of what I'm talking about. I think I just might. Should I? It's about 18 pages, Craig. What do you mean, how long is it? How long is it? I'm going to take a break right now. 1-800-449-8686. A missile has exploded near a mall in Kuwait City. A missile has exploded near a mall in Kuwait City. No word of casualties, no word as to whether it's what kind of missile it is, but it has exploded near a shopping mall in Kuwait City. We'll give you more details. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
A missile landed near the waterfront in central Kuwait shortly before 2 a.m. Saturday, causing a huge explosion, unleashing a large plume of smoke, but apparently causing little damage and no injuries. And we are told now by the Czech Chemical Weapons Unit that is there, the Czechs, they're no longer the Czechoslovakians, they're the Czechs, that it was not a chemical weapon. They found no evidence that the missile, which landed near Kuwait City, carried either a biological or chemical weapon. Now, let me get to the story about the Brits, and then I will take some phone calls, or take a call. A British military source has reportedly said U.S. forces closing in on Baghdad do not have the overwhelming force needed for urban warfare. The source said resistance in Basra has shown Baghdad will be tough to crack. The source also said U.S. forces could encircle the Iraqi capital within days but we're wary about street fighting. The key thing is that U.S. forces do not want to get involved in downtown fighting. It's all about applying pressure with the result of the regime falling. Let me tell you something. That's going to be a big mistake. Now, you can say you don't know what you're talking about, Henry. You're a civilian. Why don't you keep your big fat mouth shut? Well, you know what? I don't think I will. I think I'll just exercise my right to free speech and sound stupid if I want to. But I believe, based upon history, in encircling and besieging a city where the fighters are absolutely dug in and determined, because they know if they give up, their dead meat is the worst thing you can do. You're going to turn those guys into the heroes of Baghdad. You're going to make us look like the Nazis encircling Stalingrad. And you do run the risk. You do run the risk of losing the war because, number one, world opinion suddenly turns against you. At number two, your troops get tired. They get demoralized. They're sitting on their ass. They're doing nothing. Basra is very interesting to watch as a precursor, an example of how Baghdad will be tough to crack, said the British source. Analysts have said urban warfare runs the risk of high casualty rates for attacking ground forces, and the U.S. military does not at present want to run that risk. Big mistake. Here is Maria. Hi, Maria. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Good evening. Yes, I think, ma'am, the entire thing is a mistake, because we went in there because supposedly they had weapons of mass destruction. And today, we haven't found any. So what do we care about freeing the Iraqis? We should be worried about what we went there.
Can you turn your radio down, please? Turn your radio down,
hello?
Please?
Can hello?
You turn your radio
no, I'm
down,
on a cell phone. Maybe that's why you can't.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Well, first of all, what do you call finding 3,000 chemical suits and anti-nerve gas? It's not chemical weapons, but it sure is what we would call a clue. There was nerve gas antidotes, like 3,000 nerve gas antidotes. The Irish found more yesterday. So it might be worth continuing looking for those weapons of mass destruction.
But if that's the reason and we're so concerned about weapons of mass destruction, what about North Korea? Why aren't we attacking them?
And also,
they haven't.
Also, we're in Iraq to eliminate Saddam Hussein's regime.
Well, that should have been done 12 years ago, and obviously his father didn't do it. So there was
he didn't have
a
mandate. Well, you know what? His father went along with the UN, and now he's being criticized. We don't go along with the UN, and now we're being criticized. You know, this country can't win for losing. Daddy Bush has been just beaten into a pulp because he didn't go against Baghdad back in 91. Hey, all you UN lovers, the UN asked him not to, so he didn't. Now we go against the UN, and everybody hates that too. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Maria, for your call. This is Anna. Hello, Anna.
Yes, this is Ina. How are you?
Ina, how are you doing?
I want to say a few comments that I had. I want to say that I was from the very beginning disagree with the whole idea of the war. I think it left country divided even more since last election. And if Bush or our government had some information about, you know, Saddam Hussein access to weapons of mass destruction, they better, you know, make public aware of that. So
do you know? Do you think that chemical suits and nerve gas antidote is an indicator?
Yes, I think. Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
yes,
you know,
but. I agree, but that's not something that, you know, I bet it was not known at the beginning. And people call that oil war, and I listened to your show yesterday, and you agreed that America definitely has interest in the oil industry of Iraq.
Of course.
So they better go to Venezuela and fix, you know, oil situation there.
Go where?
In Venezuela.
Venezuela, we're determined to take out a regime that sponsors terrorism. What's Venezuela got to do with that right now?
Well, it has to do with oil, and I think oil.
Look at oil is a part, or oil is a part of the world economic picture. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for your call, but and it's a part of the interest of every nation. But the fact is, Saddam Hussein is on the radar because of his terror sponsoring regime. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, just recapping some of the news that we gave in the first half hour of the show. There was a missile blast in Kuwait City. Apparently, there were no injuries. It was a missile launched possibly, probably from Iraq, and it is not a chemical weapon. We also gave you some news about the British, who military sources in the British command saying that the United States may be too wary of fighting or getting involved in downtown fighting, street fighting, that the U.S. Does not have enough military resource for urban warfare. And this is, again, this is an unnamed source in the British military. And a few other cuties for you, including the Syrian government being accused by Donald Rumsfeld of possibly aiding the Iraqi war effort with night vision goggles, etc. We reported 4 or 5 days ago that the Syrians have been allowing into Iraq fighters from the West Bank, Palestinian or otherwise, Hezbollah from Lebanon, to join up with the Iraqi army. And the Syrians have not closed their border. And we reported that 4 or 5 days ago. Today, Rumsfeld has come out and made some comments about that. Now, what was the other thing that he said this morning to that reporter, Janice, which was really interesting? The reporter said, are we getting the correct numbers on casualties? And Rumsfeld almost was beside himself, but he said, why would we lie? Well, the answer to that question is, so the morale of the American people doesn't plummet. That's why you'd lie. And there is precedent for the Pentagon lying about casualties. It was Vietnam. They lied through their teeth about the casualties that we took in that war. We need to be more concerned, my humble opinion, with being aggressive in this war and winning it. And you know what? You can tell me to shut up because this thing is only 7 days old. 7 days old. And we have made significant gains, but we haven't made the gains that the press has been reporting. This has been horribly reported by the press. If you're a consumer of the news in this country, you have been gypped. It has been horribly reported by the press, talking about the number of towns captured, the number of Iraqis captured, the number of killed and wounded versus the number of killed and wounded. We'll be in Baghdad in 2 days. We'll be in Baghdad in 3 days. They have blown it. They're not doing their job. They're not doing their job. They got 85 billion freaking guys running around with a camera and a notepad and those funny-looking headphones, and they're embedded. Yeah, they're embedded all right. I think there's something embedded in them. They can't get the story right to save their lives, and as a result, the American people have been completely underinformed. Now, it is true you can do what we do, which is to search website after website after website and try and get an overall picture of this thing, which I think we've been able to do. We were the first guys to report a week ago that there wasn't going to be any attack on Baghdad on Saturday. You can kiss that one goodbye. Not until we get Basra under control. Not until we get Nasiriya under control there, Ms. Calder. Why don't you just do the firing squad? Or what the hell's the name of that show that she does? She's always on. They're always dragging her out. Huh? Firing line, right? Crossfire? I thought it was called firing squad. I like that name better. It's a way better name. Just get on the show and yak about the Democrats, okay? Took Nasiriya already and only 9 dead. Let me tell you what. I support this war 100%. But I'm afraid that our generals are listening a little bit too much, maybe to the president, or maybe not enough. And one other thing, there is a tradition in the United States military of generals never going to the front. It happened in World War II. The lieutenants, captains, used to talk about, you ain't seen a general around here, man. What's the highest rank you've seen? I think I've seen a major. So I saw a colonel once, but that's it. They're back there. They're planning the strategy. They're planning the operation and the tactics. But they ought to get their asses up here every now and again to find out what's actually going on. Now, the guy today, that guy, that general that's briefing the press said, this is not a surprise. We expected it. Well, they've trained for it. I don't think they expected it. They talked to one of the Marines who said, we thought they'd roll over just like in the Gulf War. Let's get everybody off of that now, once and for all, okay? Can we just get away? Can we just leave that whole, they're going to come dancing out in the streets and they're going to be surrendering by the bushels? Are we all done with that now? It doesn't mean the Iraqi people are not happy to see us. And this is something people don't understand because they don't realize, and I haven't lived it, but at least I understand that in that situation, the last thing you want to do is come dancing out into the street. Because you don't know from one day to the next which side is going to be winning. The Iraqis are not convinced that the United States is going to be victorious. The last thing they're going to do is go popping out into the street and hugging and kissing Marines when, if the Marines get pushed back for whatever reason, Saddam's goons come in and say, oh, really? And goodbye. I gave the example of the Germans didn't come dancing out of their freaking houses to meet us. They hid. They hid. It ain't going to happen in Iraq until it is clear who the winner is. So now members of the press can get off of that whole, America's great big kick like we're giving out cigarettes and stockings, okay? Just get out of there with that. Start reporting what you see and not what you think you want to see. Well, we don't see the people have not really embraced us. And the problem, of course, is that your view, it was shared by the Pentagon, that the people would be so happy to be liberated, they'd come running into the streets. If anybody happened to pick up a book of history, they'd know that wasn't true in every case. I don't know whether the Pentagon thought that would happen. The sources tell us that the Pentagon believed that there would be a great turning of the Iraqi people once they saw the American forces coming to the country. That hasn't happened because they're not convinced the Americans are going to win. These people have been beaten into submission for over 20 years by a guy who stops at nothing. If a guy will cut the tongue right out of a man's head, what do you think he'll do in warfare? If a guy will cut the tongue right out of a man's head in peacetime because he said something wrong, what do you think this guy's capable of in warfare? Now, we know for a fact, because there's eyewitnesses, that Hussein has fired on his own people. He's murdered his own people. He's shooting mortars at them. We know for a fact because one of the GIs that was interviewed, he captured four Iraqis, had them take their civilian clothing off. There were uniforms on underneath. Guy's going to stop at nothing. Guy's going to do everything that he can. And yeah, they go into Baghdad. It's going to be bloody. Why? Is that a surprise? What is that? Is that coming as news? Well, you know, if we go into Baghdad, it'll be bloody. It's a freaking war. What do you think was going to happen? Going to go in there and cut the birthday cake? Going to get into downtown and say, anybody got a match for the birthday candles? It's a war. There's no way we could fight this war without people dying, and that includes American soldiers. And it stinks, but I will tell you this. Those soldiers are aware of the risk. Nobody's conning them. They're aware of the risk, and they want to do the job. They really want to do the job. And we need to let them do the job. And all I'm saying is this. Hey, you know what? Okay. It was nice while we tried it. Things, you know, it would have been nice. No civilian casualties. It would have been nice. No American soldiers dying. You know what? We can't do it. It's not going to be possible. We didn't take him out with our surgical strike. We didn't decapitate the regime. We're going to have to fight a good old-fashioned, and of course I say that in quotes, good old-fashioned, house-to-house, World War II style street fight that's going to kill a lot of people, including civilians. And as I said, that can only be good news for the anti-war movement because then they'll have fresh, new pictures of chopped-up babies with which they can run up and down the street with. 1-800-449, then we'll take some phone calls, I promise, after our break. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to our coverage of the war in Iraq. This is the Phil Henry Show, ordinarily a comedy entertainment slash show kind of thing. But we are in full news commentary and news reporting mode, and we'll be in this mode for as long as it takes, as long as we want to. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All I'm saying is this. Our soldiers want to fight. I hope the generals are not holding them back because of some political fallout. An airplane has been hijacked. A Turkish Airlines flight has landed in Athens, Greece. It was hijacked by at least one hijacker, although some passengers... I don't know how they could have interviewed any passengers, but some passengers claimed there were two hijackers and that one of them has explosives. The plane was first diverted course, began heading toward the Aegean coastal city of Izmir, but it later changed course again and headed toward Greece. Anyway, it's a Turkish jet. It's been hijacked, and I'm sure that things will be taken care of there. 1-800-449-8686. I have no idea if it's related to the current conflict in Iraq. I'm sure it's just somebody who's gone insane, because when the world gets a little unstable, some people flip. All right, let's go to a phone call here. We have Katie. Hi, Katie. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am.
Okay, I have two questions for you. First, I want to say I am in support of this war 100%, but the government is being overly optimistic. Because it seems to me that Saddam is in so much power that is someone in that much power, is it possible for him to be that delusional?
Oh, what do you mean optimistic? How optimistic are we being?
Well, I mean, you have your anti-war people and all of that, but just the fact, I mean, the general population, it seems to me, or the people I've talked to about it, think, you know, oh, it's the United States, we're the superpower of the world. Like I think you said the other night, we get to tell people what to do because we're the superpower of the world.
Yeah, we do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to that we're going to use the wisest military tactics. I don't know what you mean by if the government's being overly optimistic. I think the
And if everyone in general is being overly optimistic.
That we're going to win?
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
We're going to win. We're going to win. But are we going to, in the process, by win, I mean we'll win on the battlefield. But in the process, are we going to lose enormous points in terms of public perception and world perception on how we, I think the faster we get this thing over with, the better it'll be for us. The longer it goes, the worse it is for us. And overly optimistic in that it would only take 5 weeks. Yeah, that was, or 5 minutes. Yeah, that was way overly optimistic.
Yeah.
I believe that this, I said that I believe this was a 2 month outing at least. And I hope it doesn't go any longer than 2 months, because I don't think the American people, I don't think this generation of Americans, first of all, having never lived through an extended war, I don't think this generation of Americans understands what it takes from the civilian populace, what is expected of us. I really don't know how tough we are, to put it bluntly.
Okay.
And if we see too many civilian casualties, and we, you know, this baby boomer generation, fresh from the battles of the anti-Vietnam era, we may just fold as a people and say, well, maybe it's not worth it. And that's the part that scares me. I mean, the military is totally capable of dealing with this. But I worry that, you know, if we, all of these tactics that are being overreported. All of these setbacks that are overreported, you know, all of these small details of the battlefield that get overreported as large indications of the overall plan, this only hurts. It only hurts the military. It misinforms the American people. We become focused on the fact that, for instance, we haven't taken Basra or we haven't taken Nasiriyah. Maybe that is the way that it goes in battle. Certainly we have history on our side. We can see how these things go. And all of this talk about we'll be in Baghdad by Saturday, you know, what? Who started that? Basra right now is presenting a problem from the British Marines. There are people trying to get out of that city, and they're getting slaughtered by their own army. The Marines are trying to get themselves in the middle of that. And why the Marines have not launched a full offensive against the city, I don't know. But then, I'm not a military guy, so there may be a very good reason. They don't want to kill civilians? That's a wrong reason. That's a wrong reason. They're going to sit there outside the gates of Basra and wait for what? 1-800-449-8686. Jerry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil Hendry, it's Jerry, man. I'm a longtime fan. I tell you what, I listen to you over watching Friends any day, brother. Hey man, my question is about the civilian casualties in Baghdad. Well, I can kind of relate, not in war sense, but I'm from Florida, and a hurricane comes through, you know, we get out of town, and these people in Baghdad, why can't they leave the city, or can they take precautions?
You're getting shot by the army if they try to leave.
Yeah, I heard you just say something like that. That's the first I've heard of that.
It's on the front page of the newspaper. They're launching mortars at their own people if they're trying to get out of town.
Yeah, yeah, that's sick, man. Anyway, well, I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, thanks for calling. Here's Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Phil. I just wanted to say I think it's a really sad day in America when so many Americans are pro-war, especially against an evil dictator, not a terrorist, against a country that never attacked America.
It had a hand in operating terrorist cells around the country, and our country suffered a terrorist attack on September the 11th.
Right. And
it has a hand in
no
developing
proven
weapons that they were told not to develop, and they went ahead and did it anyway.
Phil, where's the proven connection between bin Laden and Iraq?
Diane, terror cells don't have memoranda that they pass back and forth to each other.
Aren't there countries that harbor terrorists?
Aren't there many countries? Yes, there are, and you have to go one at a time.
Well, then why are we going after
Iraq? Okay, can I answer your questions?
Sure.
Or you already have the answers, I see, right?
Well, why are we attacking Iraq?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's kind of like when the cop pulls you over on the freeway and gives you a ticket, and you say, why didn't you get that guy that was going past me? And says, hey, you know what? Because you're the one.
Okay,
and
well,
Iraq
who
is the one that's
world
on,
police?
Iraq is the
who
one
elected
on the,
us world police?
We're not the world police. We're protecting our country.
Oh, we're not? Well, then why are we acting that way?
You know, Diane,
you
don't really want to have a conversation because everything I say, you're jumping in on top
because
of
it. Because I don't agree with you?
No, you're just jumping in on every answer I'm trying to give you.
Okay. Well, I'm just giving my points of view.
All right, now that I've
my
heard them, may I say something?
Who elected us world police?
May I say
something? Where's the hard connection? Where's the hard connection?
Diane, I tell you what, why don't you go to Disneyland and find all those memorandum, okay, that you're looking for?
Well, there's many evil
dictators out
there.
They don't file memorandum.
There's many evil dictators.
All right, name one.
Morocco.
No, name one. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name?
Morocco.
What's his name? What's his name? What's his name?
Many other countries.
So, in other words, you're not educated on any dictator. Diane, you don't know anything about dictators because you can't even tell me who the leaders are.
Why are you so upset?
No, I'm not upset. I'm asking you a question. Since you won't listen to my answers, I'm trying to get answers out of you.
And by the way, every American
and Diane, why are you
supports
so,
our troops.
Diane, why
every
are you so upset?
Every American supports our troops.
I never
Bill.
Said they didn't, Diane. Okay.
Okay. A lot of Republicans. A lot
I'm not a Republican either, Diane. I hate to tell you, I'm a you know what, Diane? If you want to talk,
we don't support our troops
all right,
because
Diane.
We're anti-war.
Diane, you don't win an argument by talking over somebody. You don't win an argument by talking over them.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. It was a nice try. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Are we fighting this war with every single solitary bit of fortitude and determination that we possibly can? Well, I have no doubt that the guys on the ground, the Marines, the paratroopers, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, all those cats, I have no doubt in my mind those guys want to go in and kick some serious ass. But are our generals kind of playing it fast and loose? Are they playing a little too close to the vest? Are they in this game 100%? Of course they are, but are our tactics, you know, are we coming up on the lightweight side of life here? Are we going to lay siege to Baghdad? Or are we going to go in? Are we going to take this guy out, or are we going to turn this guy into one of the great martyrs of the new century, the 21st century? I have that question. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Are we able to take the guy out? Yes, we are. Of course we are. I have no doubt in my mind. Great soldiers, great equipment. The American people, on the other hand, of course, this being a generation that seems to think, America is kind of like God. It always was here and it always will be here. It didn't have a beginning and it can't have an end. And life as we know it is just the accepted state of nature. Like everybody lives like this. And why do we need to go to war? Because I'm doing fine, man. I just got gas in my car yesterday, you know, and it's a real big fat Escalade. And what are you talking about? What, huh? What? And why, you know, why go to war way over there? Making those arguments, right? What is the reason? Why can't we just stay home? Why can't we just let sleeping dogs lie? As I've said for the past 3 days, every generation needs a gut check. And this is ours, whether you like it or not. And every now and again, you got to find out just exactly what the price is. Just exactly what is the price. And every now and again, a country, any country, that is, you know, values its life as much as we do, ours here in America, has to step up and take proactive steps to defend itself. And yes, take the catcalls and the boos and the hisses from everybody in the peanut gallery. Russia, Germany, China, France, Italy, all of them sitting in the peanut gallery, man. You want to know why I say the peanut gallery? Because you'll notice that while they're criticizing, they're not really criticizing. Is anybody noticing that? The Russians are saying things like, this could be the worst thing that's ever happened since the end of the Cold War. That's it? Here comes Germany. That's really bad. They shouldn't do it. Shame on them. Here comes France. In fact, what the French foreign minister said the other day, he was angry because when they asked him, who do you favor in the Gulf War, he said, I've already answered that question. So Ari Fleischer went nuts and a whole bunch of people went nuts. Aha, that proves the French don't love us. Well, the French foreign minister, one of the French foreign ministry spokespeople, François, said that back on March 24th on France 2 television, de Villepin, the French foreign minister said, quote, we hope the United States will win this war, end quote. So now all of a sudden everybody's positioning themselves to get in line at the slop trough. And when the war ends and there we stand, bloodied and battered but triumphant, they'll all line up to shake our hand. Hi, we're France. You know, we always knew you could do it. We just, thanks. Just like the people who are kind of questioning this war movement here in the United States. When we win, they're all going to be standing there beating their chests and saying, knew we could do it. All right, I'm going to take a phone call here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. A lot of new stuff coming out today, and I hope I'm putting it into some kind of coherent form. Oh, this is, we're already into the big hour here, and I didn't do my news update. Do you think there's any, there's really nothing to update? That's the equal parts disappointing and sort of exhilarating part of this. We have had that missile land in Kuwait. No injuries. It was not chemical in nature. I don't know why the Patriots didn't pick this up. This was an Iraqi missile that landed near a shopping mall in Kuwait. The Czech chemical unit says that there was absolutely no chemical warhead on that. We also have the reports of the British military behind closed doors saying the Americans are wary of going into Baghdad, that we don't want to get into a street fight. The implication being that maybe we haven't got the intestinal fortitude for it. Rather disturbing, I think. Very disturbing. It questions, I think, tacitly questions the ability of our generals and the ability of us to plan properly the taking of this very important objective, the city of Baghdad. I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with them. However, I have to remind myself this is only day eight. Day eight. It took the freaking Nazis 3 weeks to blitzkrieg Poland. This is day eight. 3 weeks. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Miles, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Yes, sir, how are you?
Good. I'll get right to the point. I think that the lady before had a point, although she didn't make it very well. The problem is, I was against the war before we got involved. Now that we're involved, we have no choice. We have to follow this thing through, and I hope we go 100% at it. But we are really inconsistent in the way we look at this. I mean, the Saudis, every time somebody from our government calls a Saudi a friend, it just makes my stomach turn.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree.
They're obviously involved. I mean, look at the connection with September 11th. They have a much clearer connection than...
Well, I don't know that... I really don't know if that's a clear connection. I know that the citizens of that country took part in this. But
yeah.
I know for a fact that the government of Iraq has helped fund and train terrorists. The government. Now, what a private citizen does... Of course, it's questionable whether there's any such thing as a private activity or endeavor in a totalitarian state like Saudi Arabia. But nonetheless, I think if you wanted to draw a connection between a country and terrorism, I think it's clear in Iraq because of the fact that the government is known to sponsor these events. You know the thing... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, that's true to a certain extent, but you look at the fact that we don't even say anything. No, nobody in our government says something about the fact that they have state-run television there, and that they allow programs to run where they say things like that the Jewish people are eating Arabs and things
like
that. You mean
in Saudi
Arab children?
Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. The Saudis are despicable. They're despicable. And I think that their day is coming, too. Iraq, on the other hand, I think is a little bit more pressing. I think the case for Iraq is a little more pressing. I think you've got a guy there who's been trying to assemble a nuclear program and a biological weapons program for a long, long time. When the UN finally found the nuclear program, they got kicked the hell out of the country in 98. Not to mention the fact that this is a man who we know out of pocket funds certain terrorist activities. If you put that together with our declared war on terrorism, you know, I'm going to start putting out a Phil Hendry map. And on the map, it will be a map of New York. And I'm just going to put a big circle around Ground Zero. If anybody wants to know why we declared a war on terrorism, there it is. Right there. Go to the big hole, what we used to call when we were back in New York, what did we call it, Craig? The hole. That's what the press started calling it, the hole. Go to the hole. Take a look. There's a lot of ghosts. To me, that's all the motivation I need. And this is the first step in warring on terrorism. It's a proactive, it's a bold thing to do. It's getting nothing but condemnation from the entire world. But you know what? I'm just saying, sometimes bold steps are condemned. You're looked at like a freak. You're looked at as if you're aberrant. You're the guy that stepped out of the pack and said, I'm going to do something about this. And everybody goes, well, wait a minute, you can't do that. Why, no one's done anything like that against terrorism since the beginning of time. And I think that, and I thank you for your call, Miles. I think, as we said yesterday, this is why our country is so special. There's never been a country like this before in the history of the world. People laugh at us when we wave the flag. They laugh. People in other countries, they laugh. Look at those cornball Americans with their straw hats. And whoever told them that they could make a country with all kinds of different religions and all kinds of different races and think they could make a country out of that? What are they you talk about goofy, those Americans, those Yanks. And by God, 200 years later, we're doing it. And maybe that's what pisses them off. The reason why we do the things that are bold and the reason why we do the things that take a little bit more courage than maybe other countries are willing to ante is the reason why we've got the country we've got. Special place, beautiful place, and boy, it scares the crap out of us sometimes, but we got to step up to the plate. We've done it before. Yeah, I recognize all the arguments about world economy and war for oil and geopolitical influence. And I know all the arguments. I know why World War II started. Some people think it started because the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Well, the Japanese, in their mind, had a reason for bombing Pearl Harbor. We had cut off their oil. But the fact of the matter remains, they bombed my country. Now we go after them. If you elevate the debate or lower the debate, say there's no longer any debate. Well, why do you say that? Because I'm now going to fly an airplane into two buildings and kill 3,000 people. Oh, okay, so what you're telling me is you no longer want to be dialoguing, you want to be killing. Yes, exactly. Oh, okay. Well, all I had to do is say so. And yet when that happens, there's some people say to us, no, you should keep talking. What are you talking about? They don't want to talk. They want to kill. All right. Now you know. Now you, as George Patton said once, now you sons of bitches know where I stand. Excuse my French, but I think in present context, it is entirely applicable. And besides, I'm quoting Patton. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Syria. Keep an eye on those guys, too. As the United States was stockpiling military equipment for its invasion of Iraq, Syria reportedly was supplying Iraq with arms, spare parts, allowing Baghdad to strengthen its dilapidated armed forces. Although Iraq's military buildup is unlikely to affect the outcome of a confrontation with America, it has enhanced its ability to deliver weapons of mass destruction. The guy, Syrian President Bashar Assad, he's the son of rather famous dictator in the Middle East, Hafez Assad. And this guy has gone to bat for Iraq in the United Nations. He has gone to bat for Iraq in a variety of ways. And now we have heard of Syrian buses and trucks with fighters in them going over the border. A few years ago, Syrian trucks laden with Iraqi oil were shuttling through Syria in direct violation of the United Nations sanctions. In other words, they were illegally exporting Iraqi oil. There is an oil for food program. Ain't no oil for money program in Iraq or Iraq. Syria has repeated its demands for the UN sanctions against Iraq to be lifted. As recently as September of 2002, it announced it was going to double its trade with Baghdad. I wonder if these guys all get together and light cigars and toast each other with brandy and go, you're one hell of a dictator. Yeah, well, you're not so bad yourself. Thanks a lot. Did you shoot a bunch of people? Yeah, I did. I butchered up a few people today. All right. They just love each other, don't they? They're all pals. They know what's best for their people. Maybe they're right. Maybe the Arab people are just too stupid. What do you think? I think that's what the anti-war people are saying. A lot of our friends in the anti-war movement, a lot of our friends in the anti-war sewing circle are saying the Arab people are just too stupid to grasp democracy. They need dictators. That's why they're fighting so hard. That's why they're screaming and clawing and scratching and laying down in traffic and stopping cars and blocking the police and honking horns and, you know, painting their Vietnam-era signs and their goofy peace buttons, you know, which I got a whole collection of peace buttons from when I was in high school. Because they want to keep Saddam in power because the Iraqis are too dumb to even grasp the concept of democracy. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's Tanya. Hello, Tanya.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes?
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Okay, right. Well, I don't know how you can make any informed decisions on this war or how you can actually state anything with any authority when it's all really just basically quoting our side. I don't see the interviews with Saddam's officials. I don't hear the other side. All I hear is a bunch of cheerleaders.
Oh, I got a bunch. Would you like to hear them?
Pardon me?
I've got a few. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
All right, this is the Iraqi information minister.
Okay.
This is a calculated campaign on the part of the United States to practice genocide against the Iraqi people. They are purposefully targeting civilians in our marketplace so that they can demoralize our people. We will show them we will not give up the fight. There's a quote from the Iraqi information minister.
Okay.
Here's a quote from Saddam Hussein. Fight with everything. Fight with your blood. Fight until you die. Martyrdom is much preferable than giving in to the invader. And then he quotes some things here about fighting for the motherland. I've got quotes here from the Iraqi ambassador to the United Nations. This Anglo-Saxon racist war aimed at a complete genocide of Iraqi women and children must be stopped. I demand the United Nations, and then he quotes a bunch of UN resolutions. Would you like to hear more?
I would like to hear more on the evening news. I would like to hear both sides. I'd like to hear the Iraqi people who are supposedly being freed from what we're not quite sure. We sure Saddam's a dictator, but there are worse things.
I can tell you what, Tanya, right now as the Iraqi people stream out of Basra, they're being shot at by their own troops. I don't know whether you find that to be outrageous. They're being killed by Iraqi mortars.
Absolutely.
What is that about?
Where did you hear that?
I'm reading the news. I'm checking websites. I go to Arab websites. I go to Israeli websites. I got mainstream news. British soldiers have eyewitnessed it.
Okay.
The British soldiers have attempted to put themselves between the mortars and the civilians. They're firing back on the artillery. In fact, here is...
So these are British soldiers...
Iraqi paramilitary forces in Basra fired mortars and machine guns Friday on about 1,000 Iraqi civilians trying to leave the besieged city, forcing them to retreat, British military officials and witnesses said. Britain's 7th Armored Brigade apparently tried to fire back, but stopped out of fear the civilians would be wounded. Stupid British... They ought to be, go get them like the Iraqis.
Glad you're well informed because I don't feel as though I am, and I have been watching. I mean, you're on MSNBC.
Here's my philosophy on the news. It doesn't fall into your lap. You got to get it.
I realize that.
Then go on out and get it.
And I have been. But the news that I hear from the more liberal.
Are you reading?
Yes, I'm reading online.
What are you reading?
Well, I'm reading, let's see. I've read CNN, I've read some of the Toronto papers. I've been reading the BBC stuff.
And you haven't found out about
the same news.
This
here.
Has been a story.
I think
for
the American people are hearing one side of the story. And
man,
that's
this
all.
Has been a story for 3 days. Because so you're obviously not reading anything. I think what you're waiting is for that magic dropping of information into your lap. It ain't going to happen. Thank you for your call. Got to move on. Here's Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Mark, hello.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Yes, sir. How are you?
You made a comment earlier about. These guys getting together, all the dictators in the Arab world. I lived there and worked in the Middle East, and it's absolutely true. They're in bed together. They speak the same language. They share the same religion, same culture, same upbringing, and they all are sons or children of dictators. So if you look at it, we're not going to be surprised to see that a dictator follows another dictator's footsteps and his success. And it's unfortunate that it looks like that, but...
Then it can only mean one thing. It can only mean one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Arab people want that. They just cannot grasp the concept of self-government.
And I'll tell you another thing that is hindering the efforts there is because the culture and the religion is such where they've always been taught to hate the West and to hate everybody else besides the Muslims. And it's unfortunate that, I mean, Islam is a great religion. I mean, it teaches a lot of wise things, but it also teaches to hate the others. I mean, the other religions.
Thank you.
Specifically the Jews.
Got a break. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, it's been a couple of weeks, or 3 weeks, or however long we've been talking about the problem in Iraq, and then we went into full news talk mode here a few days ago, but people have been asking the same question over and over again, which is, there's no direct link between Iraq and terrorists. There's no direct link between Iraq and the terrorists that blew up. And without that link, then this is an unjust war. I say to them, then and now, I don't care if there's a direct link. Terror sponsoring regime, we are going against terrorists. Why? Because terrorists murdered 3,000 of our people. Now, if you want a connection between Iraq and just terrorists, here's another. At least 4 Iraqi intelligence agents in 2 sleeper cells were arrested in 2 Middle Eastern countries while plotting attacks on U.S. targets abroad, according to U.S. officials. And the arrests have sparked investigations in 9 other countries where Iraqis may be planning to attack U.S. interests. The two cells were broken up in Yemen and Jordan, sources said, after an Iraqi agent tried to recruit a group of men to carry out bombing attacks on U.S. interests in Yemen. The man instead went to authorities and led them to the agent and a safe house where explosives were stored. Now I'm going to ask a question. Suppose we found out that Iraq was plotting terror attacks against the United States. And suppose we were able to arrest them before they blew up the Statue of Liberty. Suppose we were able to arrest them before they blew up the Sears Tower. Suppose we were able to arrest them before they blew up the Golden Gate Bridge. Wouldn't you, or would you, be in favor of, rather than just sitting back and playing a defensive game, arrest here, arrest there, arrest there, arrest here, wouldn't you be in favor then of taking the war to Iraq, of neutralizing Iraq? How can people, even without the direct connection, the memorandum and the 1040s and the tax returns and the mailing address and all the other things that the rather naive people in this country want to have to connect al-Qaeda with Iraq? They want to have film, they want to have footage of Saddam going to somebody's house for a birthday party. Why would you care what happens to this guy? Well, Phil, we care about the Iraqi people. Yeah, well, see, that's bullcrap, too. No, you don't. No, you don't. Iraqi people? Good God, this guy has put more of those people underground than any American bomb ever will. He's killed more of his own people than any American bomb ever will. You don't care about the Iraqi people. What you care about is a constant, unending, and dull criticism of every single solitary thing this country ever did. Me, at least I can look at myself and say, boy, Henry, you know, you do kind of adjust your opinion depending upon the situation. That's the goal in life, I think, to remain flexible to adapt to any situation. Which, by the way, I think it'll keep me from getting Alzheimer's, because they say the people who get Alzheimer's were rather inflexible in their life. Just my theory, but it's just one that I thought I'd throw out there in the middle of all of this. My dad was a very inflexible man. He was not a person who wanted to hear other opinions. He was closed-minded. He had his way of doing it. He'd been that way his whole life. And he got Alzheimer's. And my ex-girlfriend, her father was an engineer, and he was very just, this is the way it's done. And he got Alzheimer's. Do you think there's a connection? Anyway. Two cells broken up. Iraqi terrorists trying to bomb U.S. interests. Oh, wait a second. I know. That's our fault, huh? Because we attacked their country, so it's self-defense. Is that it? So they're defending themselves against us? You know what? Kid yourself any way you want. It's fine with me. But this war is going to go on. This guy's going to die. And at the end of the day, we will have saved far more lives in Iraq than any peace movement you care to name. 1-800-449-8686. Katrina, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am.
Good, I just want to make a point. Basically, my point is, so many are saying Arab this, Arab that, and it's important to not, or to make this point that it's really not Arabs against America, it's Islam against America. Like, I'm Jordanian, I'm a Catholic. And to me and my family, I mean, we would die for America. So I was born here, but my family came from Jordan for like 35 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we're all citizens, and we came from 35 years ago to have all the freedoms that some people are just taking too far by protesting against the war. I mean, to me, it's like they're siding with Saddam, and so many are being so disrespectful to Bush, and it's not like he made this decision lightly, you know?
I know.
I mean, God bless him. I totally agree with the war 110%, and we totally support.
Well, I mean, they show their intelligence, Katrina, when they have signs that say things like Bush is Hitler. I mean, what are you?
No, Saddam is Hitler. I think he's the Arab Hitler, and I think that Bush is doing the right thing. I mean, basically, I don't know if I could say this on the air, but I think that he has balls. Basically, he's got brains and balls, and I think that, you know, the French could just kiss off. And
but they'll be back. The French will be back. After this thing's won, the French will be standing there with a big smile on their face going, hey, can we get some of that?
There's a lot of countries right now that are not sure that they're, and I agree with you, they're not really criticizing, but they are.
Yeah.
But they're not. And the reason for that is because they know that America is going to pull out of this. And what if they're going to be like idiots? They're going to feel stupid, you know?
Well, they're going to want to be standing there with their hand out saying, hey, what do you got for me? You know? And I'm
right,
sure that we'll do. We'll give them some. You know, we'll you know, the French will get their oil and the Russians will get their contracts and everything will get back to, you know, they'll be satisfied. They'll be happy. Even the French today are making these statements like, well, we were never against America once the war broke out. Of course we were in favor of America. Yeah, sure.
So I just wanted to make a point that I would, and my family would die for America. God bless America, and that I totally support the war, but please, basically, I just want to let people know that, that there are Catholic Arabians that came to America because they were being treated the same way that, you know, Saddam is.
And it's not to say that all Muslims are bad people.
No, they're not. I totally don't blame America because I, as an Arabian, have that kind of like a black, you know, dot in my heart for that type of, for those type of people.
Well, thanks
for calling. But it's their religion, and you know, I don't blame America because I feel that way.
Katrina, I got to run. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
You know, we got to kind of give the disclaimer. We're not saying that all Muslims are bad and all Arabs are bad. There's a Islamist, and by Islamist, I'm talking about extremist, fundamentalist, terrorist, warmongering line of thought and thinking. Talk about America being a warmonger. The biggest warmongers in the world are the Muslim fundamentalists of the Middle East, who just, you know, they count their steps to God by the amount of blood they spill. They count the stair steps to Allah by the number of bodies they're stepping over. And who they are, they're a lot of them are from the Middle East. Most of them are from the Middle East. You know, most of them are Muslim. So the people that I have always been consistently against have been the members of the leadership of the Arab world. These are the guys. These are the guys. Forget about the Arab people. Yeah, okay, so you see some raghead walking out there in public and it pisses you off. You see some gal, she's got a bedsheet over her head and it just pisses you off. I understand, but that's not the enemy. The enemy are those scumbags in power in places like Syria and Iraq, Saudi Arabia, you know, Jordan. Anybody that plays it cute. Anybody, you know, all of these people that enable these terrorists, those are the guys that I can't stand. And if you're to ask me, should we continue the war of terror against Saudi Arabia and against places like Iran, I would say yes. Yes, we should. But then I'm just one guy. What are you talking about, Phil? You just want to spill blood all over the world? Would you like us to just sit here and wait for another terror attack? Would that be okay with you? So in other words, that's what most people are asking for. Just sit and be quiet until they kill us again. Great. Okay, that's really saving lives. All right, here is Bob. Hello, Bob. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bob? Bob, you turd. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we're back and we're covering the war in Iraq, and we are doing it with a variety of things, commentary, news reports. We visit a variety of websites. We have a number of different sources that we use. You are going to hear things in the show that you don't hear in other shows in terms of just straight information. We have been providing that, and there have been a number of scoops that we've been able to provide in this program since we went into the sort of full mode of war coverage a week ago last Wednesday. This is day 8. Well, we ain't won the war yet. It's day 8, and we haven't won yet, and we haven't, as I said, put up a Wendy's where they're flipping square hamburgers there in downtown Baghdad. And there's no freeways, and there isn't a Saks Fifth Avenue, so I guess we ought to just pack it all in and to go home. 1-800-449-8686. John, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, what's up, man?
You are.
Okay, I didn't call to be rude, but you don't know jack about what the hell is going on back there, man. I mean, you're talking about how we need to go to Saudi Arabia and Syria and the governments are so bad, and the presidents want America down so bad. Man, they're all CIA agents. Every president in the Middle East, except for them, is a CIA agent.
Oh.
He's doing as well as I do.
Talk about not knowing Jack.
As strong as they are. Let me finish, man.
I just said talk about not knowing Jack.
Well, I mean, let me finish. You can argue that you know Jack. Now, we gave him weapons. We support him with weapons. We made him fight Iran, destroy Iran. When he was done, he got to the point where he was so strong he had to be destroyed, too. It's all about politics, about oil, about money. It has nothing to do with race, being Muslim, being Arabic or Christian or none of that. If you knew about Islam, what Islam says that you have to believe in the Bible, we have to believe. I'm Arabic, but I was born here. I spent half my life there and half my life there. I love America. I love my country. I mean, I'm not Iraqi, I'm from Palestine. But what I'm telling you is that Islam and Arabs have nothing against Christians and Americans. See, people like you, I mean, you lie to the American public, try to make some excuses for us to go back there and get the oil. It's all about oil. It has nothing to do with race or Islam or none of that. And, I mean, you cannot be logic and connect Al-Qaeda to Iraq. Iraq, I mean, his regime is all about, I mean, he's almost communist. He hates Islam.
Let me explain something to you, John. Hitler and Stalin had a non-aggression pact. They went into business, and one was a communist and the other was a Nazi. So it doesn't make any difference whether a guy likes another guy to use him in business. That's number one. Number two,
okay.
I listen to you, now you listen to me. Number two, okay. For 40 years, do you know who the main benefactor of the Arab states was? 40 years. The Soviets, the Russians, the communists. Not the United States, the communists. The Soviet state gave Egypt its money, gave Saudi Arabia its money, gave Iraq its money. The Soviets, the United States had to go down there and begin to practice some of its multilateral diplomacy. When you say it's all about oil, you're not saying anything original. I said yesterday that let's say it's about oil. Let's say it's about oil, all right? Just to make you and everybody happy.
Okay.
Which man is more moral? The guy that goes in there for the oil and takes out a much-hated dictator, or the guy who goes in there for the oil, like the French and the Russians, and keeps that guy in power by giving him money? Which man is more moral?
Well, I mean, that's not the point.
No. It is exactly... If you say it's about oil, then that's exactly the point.
It's something that they have. It's something that they own. What I'm saying is at least...
Well, they don't own it anymore because he's been torching the wells. He's been torching the wells, so they don't own anything. The Iraqi people own nothing.
That's baloney.
Oh, you haven't seen the wells torched?
I lived there for 12 years.
All right, pal. Now you really show your colors. You know, there's a certain kind of mindset that just doesn't want to believe truth, even if it kicks you right straight in the gonads. He set fire to oil wells, John. He set fire to the oil wells of the Iraqi people. So you say they own the oil? Not according to Saddam Hussein, they don't.
Listen, man. Now,
I know. I'm making it up, right?
Propaganda.
I see.
Propaganda.
Pal, you have got a long way to run to find the truth, my brother, because you are really sadly misinformed and so very much, very much out of step. You are the victim of propaganda, my man, not me. 1-800-449-8686. Adam, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah. Now, I love Americans very much. I'm a patriot, but I do not support this war. And the reason is I'm wondering when we're going to refocus our attention back to the United States. And that's with education, that's with poverty, that's with unemployment, and the many problems that this country already has. And
like terrorism?
How long is too long? I mean, how long are we going to wait before we actually bring our attention back to the things that actually matter?
Well, it's staying alive. You figure that matters?
Staying alive? What do you...
What do I call staying alive?
Are you addressing the supposed terrorism cell that we're attacking over there?
Do you suppose staying alive is important is all I'm asking you? Is that important to you?
Oh, it's very important.
Do you think it'd be important to the members of the families of those people that died in the World Trade Center? You think that's important to them? I think
staying
when
alive,
our country
yes,
is attacked,
but,
when our country
Phil,
is attacked and our people have been killed, I think the number one priority is to defend the country. And all those wonderful things
Phil,
you're talking about, education and all. There's Americans believe that they have some kind of a luxury here. That's
right.
All.
Right. So, but the reasons that people give for this war, like your last caller, you were saying that our purpose there is to free these people.
No, I never said that.
The citizens of Iraq. From the tyrant, from the dictator. We're doing them a favor by relieving them of the dictator.
Would you please quote me properly? I said, if it's a war about oil...
If it's a war about oil,
and he said that that was a war about oil, that last caller, I said, then who is the more moral man? The man who goes in for the oil and in the process topples a hated dictator, or the guy that's standing there getting the oil and gives money to that dictator? If you want to know what this is about, if you want to make it about oil, then everybody is culpable, including you. You drive a car, you're culpable. So you have to make it about oil, Adam, to save your own conscience and your own morality as an individual. So let's make it about oil. I say, if it is about oil, then we are more moral than the people sitting on the sidelines right now, sucking that oil and not caring about the Iraqi people.
Let's make it about terrorism. And if it is about terrorism,
okay,
there is no concrete evidence that...
There's concrete evidence that he supports terrorists.
We don't know what we're doing is actually going to help this situation. I mean, for all we know, this is going to be a major irritant to the terrorism problem. This is not a clear solution.
I can't stand listening to that. It's people who say, oh, no, we're going to make them mad. I mean, that's the classic giving into a bully. Oh, if we just sit real quiet and we don't say anything, maybe the bad people won't hurt us.
If you wake up a hole in a china shop, you're bound to get stuff broken too, Phil, and you have to realize that. Sometimes you gotta cinch it up like a man
and go in and take care of the freaking problem, for God's sake. 1-800-449-8686. Sleeping dog's luck. There ain't no sleeping dog over there, brother. Whether we go to Iraq or not, they're still gonna come after us. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, just my own personal comment on news coverage. I'm getting a little tired of seeing this lead every newscast now, either on Fox or CNN. Bombs over Baghdad. They're dropping more bombs on Baghdad. I find that to be a little like pandering to our need to know we're really kicking ass somehow. More blasts are heard in Baghdad. That doesn't tell me anything. What are you blowing up? And is it doing any good? That would be a really nice thing to know. The Ministry of Justice was blown up. I don't know. Was there anybody even in it? Was anybody that is going to do us any good killing in it? That bunker we hit when the war started, that whole decapitation effort. And you know someone died as the result of giving us that information. The word was last weekend, what was that story we had, Janice? Last weekend, Hussein executed or had executed 8 or 9 top army officers. And you better believe that that had a lot to do with the fact that somebody divulged the location of top military planning, which was that bunker that we targeted when the war, or if you will, the decapitation effort started. So 8 guys lost their lives as a result of that. As I mentioned, you know, talk all you want about whether you're for the war or against the war and the poor people on the ground and the Iraqi civilians. There are Iraqi citizens at this hour risking their lives to get information to the coalition. There are Iraqi citizens who have risked their lives over the months to get rid of this guy. Here's a story that was originally filed August 25th, 2002. Saddam killed Abu Nidal over Al-Qaeda row. From the London Telegraph, Abu Nidal, the Palestinian terrorist, was murdered on the orders of Saddam Hussein after refusing to train Al-Qaeda fighters based in Iraq. According to the London Telegraph, despite claims by Iraqi officials that Abu Nidal committed suicide after being implicated in a plot to overthrow Saddam, Western diplomats now believe that he was killed for refusing to reactivate his international terrorist network. According to reports received from Iraqi opposition groups, Abu Nidal had been in Baghdad for months as Saddam's personal guest and was being treated for a mild form of skin cancer. While in Baghdad, Abu Nidal, whose real name was Sabri Albana, why even change it? Just like, why would he even change? He's like, do you remember Hawaii Five-O? One of the actors' name was Hong, and the character he played was Fao. Hong, starring Hong as Fao. Was Fong as how? I mean, who cares? Anyway, Abu Nidal, whose real name was Sabri Albana, came under pressure from Saddam to help train groups of al-Qaeda fighters who moved to northern Iraq from fleeing Afghanistan. Saddam also wanted Abu Nidal to carry out attacks against the U.S. and its allies. Oh, but, you know, I see. We're making all of this up, aren't we? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all bullcrap. It's got to be bullcrap, otherwise it completely blows up the theory from all these people who have been hanging on desperately to the idea that there's no direct link between Hussein and the al-Qaeda, so there. I've proved my point, harumph. When Abu Nidal refused, Saddam had him assassinated. This is from another British newspaper. I think this is called the London Blab. I don't know what it is. Saddam trained al-Qaeda terrorists. The British government's long-awaited dossier on Iraq is to reveal the first definitive evidence that Saddam Hussein trained some of Osama bin Laden's key lieutenants as terrorists. The draft version contains detailed information about how two leading al-Qaeda members, Zabu Zubair and Rafid Fatah, underwent training in Iraq and are still linked to the Baghdad regime. It also expected to disclose that President Saddam has reconstructed three plants to manufacture biological and chemical weapons. I guarantee you, it doesn't matter how much evidence we could come out with, there'd be a certain sentiment among people who are against this war that you can't sway them. They'll always just be against the war. There were people who were against the Gulf War. When the whole bloody United Nations was with us, there were people against that war. Doesn't matter if the UN's with you or the UN isn't with you. When we go in and we try to feed the people of Somalia, there's people who are against that. That's a colonialist thing. When we went in and interceded in Kosovo, trying to stop wholesale butchery from taking place and rape. No, that's no good. That's another ploy the Americans. There's nothing we can do that's right. So why even talk? Why even take those people into consideration? I say, screw them. Here's Linda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. I listen to it every night on my hour commute home.
Thank you.
My question for you is, in your opinion, what do you think our government's response will be if the Iraqis use chemical weapons on our troops over there?
I think it will be a non-nuclear, if that's what you're asking me. I think it will be an all-out carpet bomb of Baghdad, though. I think that's when the gloves will come off and civilians will die by the bushel, along with Iraqis. I think that we will level Baghdad. We will level the city. There will be no structure over a half a story high.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It'll be gruesome. It'll be ugly. It'll be exactly what Saddam wants because, you know, he wants kind of a heroic place in history. And he figures he wants
to play the martyr.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and he thinks he can still squeeze his way out of this deal. He thinks that there was a great article I started mentioning the LA Times this morning that he believes he can survive this the way Stalin survived the siege of Stalingrad. He thinks that if they can hold out in Baghdad long enough, international pressure will be brought to bear along with the propaganda that will be, you know, available with showing dead civilians that the U.S. and the British will have no choice but to withdraw. And he really feels that, and you know what? I got to tell you, the guy, it's a great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the only strategy that he can effect. And on top of that, I can't say that I really blame the guy for pulling out all of the dirty tricks that he's been pulling out. He's got
nothing else.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, it's despicable, but he's a despicable guy. You know, like the man said, at least a snake, you know, it's a snake. If he crawls on the ground and he bites you, he's a snake.
Mm-hmm.
So we know this guy is what he is. And firing on civilians, wearing civilian clothing over your soldier's uniform, mortaring your own people. This stuff shouldn't be a surprise to us at all.
No, and it's really not to me.
Yeah.
the man's just a lowlife. And my only concern is I have friends that are there. I have friends that are in the reserves that are there, have been in Kuwait for a month. You know, I'm just kind of worried about them,
They're gonna
be okay.
They're great soldiers. They're great soldiers. They're terrifically trained. They're great soldiers. They got unbelievably great equipment. And, we really aren't talking about Germany and Russia in 1945 because it's much different.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the Russians were a far more capable army than these guys. They were far better equipped. They had us and the British on their side at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Germany was operating from a weakened economy. They put everything into munitions. Mm-hmm. They'd made a tactical error in heading to Stalingrad in the first place. They should have gone directly to Moscow, but they wanted to take the oil fields. A lot of stupid stuff. We're taking the capital of the country, which is the logical nerve, communication, and industrial center of Baghdad. So it's a smart move. The question is, are we going to go in and do it the right way? Are we going to lay siege to the city? And the next thing you know, I got to go. I'm sorry, Linda. Lay siege to the city, and the next thing you know, we've got the heroic defenders of Baghdad. Man, you don't want that. You don't want that. Next thing you know, this guy's kisser is going to be on every poster and every ghetto and every slum in the Arab world, the heroic defender of Baghdad, Saddam Hussein. And it won't matter to anybody how many eyeballs he gouged out. As far as they're concerned, he's the man. 1-800-449-8686. We're continuing with our coverage of the war in Iraq, or some people have called it, including our government, Iraqi freedom. That's a good name. This is the Phil Hendry Show. This is a bit of a change of pace for us. We generally do a comedy show, an entertainment-style show, but we have decided that we will go into news commentary and news coverage mode, and we will do that until events warrant otherwise. Why are we still here and not taking a vacation, and they haven't put, some real stale square talk show host in here instead? Because we can do this stuff better than them, too. So here we is, and we isn't going no place. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back to Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, the army of Saddam Hussein is degraded significantly, but he has an array of security personnel. I thought I would give you a rundown. Iraq's various security branches present specific types of threats. U.S. officials have suggested that loyalist Fedayeen guerrillas are intimidating regular troops into not surrendering, and they present a terrorist-type threat to allied forces. But the most resistance may come from the veteran Republican Guards in Baghdad. The Iraqi army proper has 350 to 370,000 troops. They have 1st Corps and 5th Corps in the north, the 2nd Corps, and, I probably doesn't mean anything what which corps is where. Regular army units whose training and equipment varies greatly. You probably saw some of those regular army guys surrendering in the early part of this war. The Republican Guard has 60 to 70,000 troops. The 1st Corps of the Republican Guard is headquartered in Tikrit. This is the hometown of Saddam Hussein. The 2nd Corps in Halfreya. It is composed of Guard-motivated volunteers who receive top equipment and training. These guys are highly indoctrinated, in other words. Then there is the Special Republican Guard. 12,000 to 15,000 of them, 4 infantry brigades, that's about 3,200 men. Isn't a brigade like 800 to 1,000? It's about like 4,000 guys, right? And air defense commanded mostly in, what are they talking about, 12,000 to 15,000? Oh, well, I don't know. Infantry brigade maybe is bigger. And air defense command mostly in and around Baghdad. So the Special Republican Guard are in and around Baghdad. They are responsible for protecting Baghdad and for protecting Saddam Hussein. Then there is the Military Intelligence Service, MIS. There are 3,000 to 6,000 of those. They're in Baghdad, they're in Basra, they're in Kirkuk and in Moselle. They conduct covert operations and they infiltrate opposition movements. Next, they have Saddam's men of sacrifice. These are the Fedayeen that we've been hearing so much about. There's 30 to 40,000 of them. They report directly to the presidential palace in Baghdad, which means they're reporting directly now to a pile of rubble. They're a young militia formed from regions loyal to Saddam. It's very important when we talk about regions because the Arab Middle East is very tribal. And again, these countries were artificially imposed. Tribal and clan relationship is far more important than national, patriotic relationship. Jerusalem or the Al-Qud Brigade. They claim that there are seven of these. It's a countrywide force thought by some to be mostly for show. These are volunteer civilian force, both women and men. Okay, so they probably don't present that much of a threat. And then finally, the Lions of Saddam. The number is unknown. They are countrywide, and they are a paramilitary training force for children ages 10 through 16, the Lions of Saddam. One of the reasons why I know ultimately we're going to win this war, when any time any society resorts to a suicide-style military operation, they're in very big trouble. They're at the end of the road. That's why the Palestinians are so desperate and why it's so obvious that they're in terms of military solution to the problem of the Palestinian people, there isn't any. There is none. They're blowing themselves up. The same goes for the Iraqis that we're presently up against. They have been driving suicide missions of men buses filled with men, taxi cabs, trying to ram these into our tanks, which has absolutely no effect, by the way. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jesse. Yes, Jesse, you're on the air.
Hi, Phil. Hi. I just want to, first of all, in quick agreement, to say that, you know, the Al-Qaeda and Iraq don't have anything in common and that they wouldn't work together is just as ridiculous as saying that the United States and Iraq didn't have something enough in common to work together in the past.
Right.
You know, basically what I want to prompt you on is, the international regard for what we're doing is, of course, you know, very poor. And I'm just wondering if you think that this might be the result of, the international community getting fed up with taking out our old allies that we support and put into power. You know, we asked the UN to go in and take out the chemical weapons that the CIA didn't supply. We didn't just hand them like that. You know, it was basically done through business and, you know, government authorization of those business transactions. But we supplied them with all that stuff, and we asked them to take it out, and then we're indignant about it and decide to go ahead without them with a war invasion. Then we have, you know, the conflicting, you know, imagery of people in the streets, like the protests are going all the way up. It's their Tiananmen Square over there, all around the world. And, you know, just the images, I mean, it basically, you know, would you say perhaps that the protests are pretty much the only thing deterring terrorism right now? Because if there was a terrorist attack, then protest assembly would drop.
No, the only thing that's keeping Saddam's spirits alive are the protests. The only thing that's keeping him murdering his own people are the protests.
This is true, and it probably encourages the other Arab countries to support him as well, and to support his dying war, the war he can't win, just in the effort to try to wear us down as much as he can. It does give support to that, but if it weren't for the protests, don't you think there would be much more terrorist attacks occurring in the United States right now?
No, I don't think they have anything to do with it.
You don't think it discourages?
No, not at all. Look, they don't care one bit about the Americans. They certainly don't care about protesters. I think they would do anything they could to demoralize the American public, and protests are one aspect. Destruction of the World Trade Center right now, along with the protests, that would probably just send this country into a tizzy. I mean,
yeah, they wouldn't want to discourage those protests, which is what another terrorist attack would do. It would discourage protests.
Yeah, but a terrorist attack, the protests right now, as far as I'm concerned, are what Saddam Hussein is using for propaganda to encourage the resistance of his Fedayeen and Special Republican Guard, etc. It's what the Arab world is looking at as an inspiration for their protesting of our movement into Iraq. I mean, it's done nothing but enable this guy. Nothing but enable him. I don't know. I mean, what else does he need?
Well, the protests are worldwide, and you know, I mean, if you're asking me, Saddam,
if you're asking me why would he attack and destroy the protests, you're probably right. The protests probably, in a lot of ways, are much better suited for his purposes right now. But the fact is, we've had Iraqi terrorists arrested in Yemen as recently as yesterday, planning to hit United States interests. These are Iraqi agents.
Yeah, naturally, you know, it's wartime, and I'm surprised, you know, and also I would also like
to... You just said to me that the protesters are keeping them from attacking us. Now you're saying naturally it's wartime, so they would attack us.
Well, I mean, it's always in the works and always in the plan, but I'm sure that by this time there would have been much more. If they thought that the entirety of the United States were as Teutonic as our leadership, then they would attack us, most definitely.
Well, all these fine words like Teutonic and all of these wonderful little kind of arcane expressions having more to do with the Vietnam era are fun, and I'd love to keep playing the game, but fact of the matter is the world has changed and moved far beyond the naivete of America being a huge colonial power and everybody else is pure as the driven snow. I will agree that it's possible the protests have served Saddam's purpose, so he doesn't need to have terrorist attacks. The American people are basically doing the job for him right now. Those in the anti-war movement, they're providing ample image for any and all that the American people are against this war. And by God, like I said, if we can just start getting some more dead civilians, well, that'll really make his day. Why does he need a terrorist attack when he's got dead babies and American protesters? 1-800-449-8686. Just make sure you don't photograph the babies that Saddam killed. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Battlefield intelligence increasingly points to the possibility the Iraqis might use chemical weapons, according to U.S. officials, although American and British troops apparently have not found any of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's allegedly deadly agents in their search. However, Iraqi troops have been spotted between U.S. and Iraqi lines wearing full chemical outfits, hoods, gloves, and boots. The gear would allow them to survive on a battlefield where chemical weapons were employed. Some were also seen unloading 50-gallon drums off of trucks. I wonder if they're just doing that to blow our minds. I wonder if they're doing that to scare the U.S. command into not being aggressive enough. Because, you know, the Marines, when they were going north the first couple of nights, they said, well, they were crossing the Euphrates River a little slowly because they didn't know what was waiting for them. If they're seen unloading 50-gallon drums off of trucks, why aren't they taken out? What do you mean they've been observed between U.S. and Iraqi lines wearing full chemical outfits, hoods, gloves, and boots? Why not take them out or take them prisoner or otherwise neutralize them and grab the suits and grab the chemicals and say, here you go? The officials noted that separately, U.S. intelligence has determined that Iraqi troops are carrying antidotes for chemical attacks. Look, I saw the photographs of the antidotes. I saw the photographs of the suits. This ain't going to wash, CBS. Give me a little bit more. Janice pulled that off the internet, and now she's looking at me. I just tossed it in the garbage. I don't want that. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Our continuing coverage, I say continuing, it's only about 4, 5, 6 hours long, depending upon the night, of the war in Iraq. Right now, B-52 bombers are on the tarmac at an RAF base in Fairford, UK. That means they're getting ready to take off. That means in about 6 hours, it's going to get really noisy in Baghdad again. Here's Melissa. Hello, Melissa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Hi, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You know, with all these Arab countries that are out saying they support Saddam Hussein, do you feel as though they're saying this in fear that he might torture and kill them and their people just like he has his own?
Mm-mm. Not at all. I think they do it because they see him as a lion of Islam, a son of the Arabian Peninsula who is standing up to the infidel crusaders. He is a proud, mustachioed, epaulette-wearing guy, you know, with his little, you know, scrambled eggs on his hat, and he's walking around in his Sears Roebuck military uniform, and he looks very impressive. And he's standing there up against the West, and he's saying, come and get it. And I think in some way that's romantic. I also think that the Arab people, far more to the point that you're trying to make, Melissa, are subjected to some of the most intense propagandizing. You know, you talk about the American people sucking up propaganda. The Arab world is so filled with imbecilic and erroneous propaganda that I had a guy say to me earlier in this show, he said this. He said this. No, those oil wells aren't on fire. I said, no, sir, it's been on the news. You can see the oil wells are on fire in Iraq. No, no, that's no, that's propaganda. What the hell are you talking about? It's on the freak. You can see the damn things in flames. No, I don't believe it. The guy didn't. The guy wouldn't believe it. Then I had a kid on a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, Israel has been attacked by Egypt and Syria. No, they haven't. Well, yes, they have. I mean, it's accepted by both sides. Israel was attacked most recently in 1967, a Six-Day War. Oh, no, no, they have. No, they weren't. Do you understand what's going on in that part of the world when whole segments of history are just taken and thrown into the garbage can and replaced with bullcrap? That's what's happening to the kids in that part of the world. That's the brainwashing that's happening to every child in that part of the world. Yesterday, they had 4,000 Lebanese children marching through the streets of Beirut shouting death to America. You think there's maybe something better you could have a little kid do, like maybe get on a swing set or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, one thing I saw on the news tonight, which was refreshing in light of all this that's been going on, it was a professor in one of these little towns who had been shouting, you know, long live Saddam or whatever it was when we were giving them humanitarian aid. And one of the U.S. reporters was there today, and he didn't experience any of that. And the professor said that some of Saddam's army was there, and he said, if we didn't, he said, I was one of them that was chanting that. But he said, we do not support him. He said, we would have been tortured and killed if we had not chanted for Saddam when he was given that aid. And I thought that that was refreshing because it was a shock to me when we went in there and they were acting like they hated us.
No, don't let that shock you. Understand something, and I pointed this out in the first hour of the show. A country at war and people who are ducking and covering in a state of war, especially after having been burned in 91 when the United States didn't support the uprising, they're gonna hunker down in their cellars until they see who the winner is. No, no, no. As I've used the example before, and I think it bears repeating, that in World War II, the German people didn't come running out of their houses embracing us. They stayed in their houses and they waited to see when the smoke cleared who the winner was gonna be. They didn't come running out and going, oh,
right,
thank God, America. No way, no way, man. Same thing in Iraq. The people, just like you said, they're hunkering down. They're waiting to see what's going to happen. And keep in mind, Hussein really needs to win this propaganda. He really needs the propaganda war to be on his side because he doesn't have much of anything else. He needs to have Iraqis shouting death to America. He needs to have Iraqis hoisting guns in the air. He needs to show lots of dead civilians. He needs to show lots of dead children. Everything needs to be orchestrated in terms of the propaganda that goes out of Iraq in favor of him. And by God, if you don't say you love Saddam, he'll put a cap in your head just as soon as look at you.
Yeah, he'll kill you.
They're killing people who are fleeing Basra. They're shooting them down.
Right.
We ought to get a... I'd love to have some... Well, I shouldn't say I'd love to have some film of that. I mean, but I would like to hear a little bit more of that from the British troops who have been observing this.
One thing I don't understand is why doesn't the administration try to push the fact that this man is like a second Hitler?
I don't think it's going to play. Hitler was a much more powerful force. The man had invaded and taken over how many countries? It ain't going to play.
Well, he just tortures his people.
Well,
he tortures them.
Yeah, well, every time you say that to people who are against the war, they say it's none of our business if he's torturing his people. Under international law.
Oh.
Under international law, they're right. But again,
well, morally, though, can you stand around and watch someone being raped? You know what I mean?
No, but if you're in the country, and you're in that country because of reasons of weapons of mass destruction or supporting terrorism, then I think you might as well also point out to everybody, hey, yeah, by the way, the guy's got blowtorch toilets, he rapes women, he tortures children, he is a real piece of crap, if anybody's interested. Not that we wanted to, you know, ruin your lunch. Thanks, Melissa, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Technically, we're not supposed to care about him torturing his own people. Technically, you can't bring that up. That isn't fair. And, of course, when you listen to some of these idiots who are against military operation in Iraq, they'll say something along these lines. America's responsible for torturing people. Oh, come on. Well, America's responsible for putting him in power. And I, you know, don't think I didn't notice that guy who called a few minutes ago who kept wanting to pound that home that America put him in power. Who's denying that? I'm not denying that. Look, understand that we're, you know, this isn't the Virgin Mary here whose soul was always pure. America has had to swim in some pretty dirty water. We've done some nasty things. But as I've attempted to ask the question the last 2 days, at least we're trying to remedy the situation by killing the piece of garbage, as opposed to some of our other friends internationally who are continually giving him money and buying his products and his oil. Everybody wants to talk about the poor Iraqi people being victims of America. But if you ever take it into this place, the poor Iraqi people are victims of Saddam. No, no, no. They don't want to hear that. No. That's not fair. That's when they pull this one out. No, that's got nothing to do with international law, and that's not why they're there. So they'll really run away from that now. Now, why is it they run away from that? Why does the anti-war movement in America and Europe run away from that? I mean, they run. They are crying and weeping and peeing and moaning out there in Times Square about all the horrors that America will visit on the Iraqi people. But the minute you as if they really cared about those people. But the minute you bring up the fact that America could go in and put an end to their suffering by taking out a guy who's been torturing them, no, they don't want to hear about it. And right then and there, you see the moral reality of those. You see those people for what they truly are and what they truly represent, which is that this anti-war movement is just one big party. It's just an excuse to get out in the street, sit on your ass in traffic, and ha-ha, you know, make fun of cops. That's all it is. It's got nothing. There's no argument there. There sure as hell is no concern for the Iraqi people, man. You guys, you never sold that one to me. I mean, there are other people maybe buying that. I know. You got no care or concern for the people of Iraq. They are just a little toy that you'll put up on a poster every now and again if there's enough blood pouring out of their ears to use to further your party. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. That'd be me. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We have been monitoring over the course of several weeks at least one human shield that has remained in Baghdad. Margaret Gray joins us on the line. And I know it's a rough line there, Margaret. Can you hear me?
I can hear you faintly, Phil. We're in Baghdad, and we are remaining here throughout this illegal and unjust air war against the peace-loving people of Iraq and the very misunderstood Saddam Hussein. I was with him today, and I found him to be charming.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're making me gag here. You were with Saddam Hussein today?
Yes, I was.
Where is he, Margaret? We need to know where he is. We have to take him out.
No, I refuse. I refuse because I love him. and because I will not do anything to endanger his life, Phil.
That is a traitorous thing. We got to know where he is. I want to know where the guy is.
No, Phil, I'm a human shield now, and I'll do everything to protect Saddam. And now, my protest song of the day. Oh, all we are saying is give peace a chance. Oh, shoot.
I'm sorry. That's rough, man. Israel is staying on high alert against an Iraqi strike despite a British reassurance that coalition forces have disabled Saddam Hussein's ability to launch missiles from western Iraq. Coalition claims. Now, didn't we just hear that Saddam had moved some rocket launchers out west, or there were some? And by the way, the Far Peninsula is where that missile that hit Kuwait tonight, it was launched from the Far Peninsula. Now, what's that about? I thought the British took over that peninsula. Is it two guys, like two Iraqis with one missile? They held out, okay, we shot it off. What are we going to do? I guess start swimming for it. All hail the Iraqi military. They shoot one missile and they dive into the ocean. Saddam Hussein's ability to launch missiles. Thousands of Palestinians held demonstrations in the West Bank yesterday, pleading with Saddam, pleading with him to strike Israel with missiles and chemical weapons. God, man, you know, even if you're an Arab in favor of the Palestinian state and you think that Israel is a bad place, you must reel at how barbaric that is. If you're Arab, you must feel ashamed when you hear something like that. You got it. You, if you're civilized at all, you must feel absolute shame. Pleading with him to strike Israel with missiles and chemical weapons. Well, kids, got some bad news for you. Your big hero, your big pal Saddam, the guy who you thought was going to bail you out. Take a look at this. There you go. We have disabled Iraq's ability to launch external aggression from the West, said British Prime Minister Tony Blair as he ate a turkey sandwich. I'm kidding. The Scud missiles that hit Israel in 1991 came from western Iraq, that part of the country closest to Israel. But an Israeli government official said Israel would stay on high alert until the threat of missiles or other attacks was removed completely. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. You know, if it's my country, you'll pardon me if I don't take your guys' word for it just yet. Well, no, they can't get you. Okay, yeah, it's fine. I believe you. All right, here is Bill on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Well, you know, to begin with, your sober show is just as entertaining as your humor.
Oh, thank you.
So
the sober show?
It.
You're right. I do try to stay sober for this. Yeah.
But, you know, my point is this, and that is that the Bush administration ought to hire a guy like you to do his propaganda for him, because they're doing a piss-poor job.
The Bush administration?
Oh, they're doing a terrible job. They get Rumsfeld up there in front of the people, and, I mean, the guy looks like he's going to have a coronary if somebody disagrees with him.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a terrible job at communicating how necessary it is to get rid of that evil tyrant, you know, Saddam. I mean, what a bad man, and yet, you know, every now and then we have interspersons of how negative a man he really is, all the evil he's really doing. Most of what we get is, you know, what is that, the UN charter, the UN proposition, or whatever it's called, initiative. You know, I mean, who cares? I mean, since when has the United States been so concerned about the UN?
It doesn't matter. We've been saying it, and we could keep saying it, that Hussein does these horrible things, and you're going to get this argument in return. It doesn't matter. It's none of our business. But by the
you know?
But then they turn around on a dime, the people who are against the war, and say, we care about the Iraqi people. Come on. You know, go peddle that someplace else. Who do you think you're kidding? Go sit in traffic, man. That's what you guys do really well. Sit down in front of traffic and just be stupid. But don't try to actually argue your point. You got no point. Thank you, sir, for your call. Not you, sir, but the people that you and I were talking about. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.